Coming up on today's show.
My old line coach from the Broncos was the Colts offensive line coach at the time. And he's like, Jared, you think you could gain some weight and come back and help us out? And I was like, sure, but this is the first year I'm going to be at home with my family for Christmas. Like, we got the tree. And the short version of the story is I'm in my car driving down to Indy on December 26th.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They will both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for free for the Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out each Monday. That's it, really, just once a week. While you are on the website doing that, look to at the top of any page on the site and you will see social media links, logos for the show, meaning Facebook, X, Instagram, and YouTube, so that you can engage with me and the show that way. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group consisting of listeners of this show and some past guests. That is free to join, and you can also find a link for that too on catholicsportsradio.net. I love hearing from listeners, and so social media as well as the website all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. As the NBA draft approaches, clearly the fan base for a franchise or two will be looking to a top pick to come in and rescue their beloved team from their losing ways. This is a scene that, as sports fans, we all have witnessed at some point in time, be it with one of the teams that we root for or simply from afar. In fact, when it comes to major trades or free agency, didn't we see this in the NFL when Aaron Rodgers went to the New York Jets last year? Heck, right here in Tampa Bay, we had Tom Brady come to our city, and we laid all our hopes at his feet for a trip back to another Super Bowl. The National Hockey League had Connor McDavid in the Stanley Cup Finals this year, someone that Edmonton Oilers fans have been hoping would be their savior since he was taken with the first pick overall in the 2015 NHL Draft. Yes, I said savior. It's a word that is commonly used in these types of scenarios with little regard for who it should really be reserved for. Our Lord Jesus Christ was sent to be the one true savior we should all look to lead us. In the Old Testament, Moses is talking to God, and specifically in the book of Numbers, in chapter 27, verses 16 and 17, he says, quote, "May the Lord, the God of the spirits of all humanity, set over the community someone who will be their leader in battle and who will lead them out and bring them in, that the Lord's community may not be like sheep without a shepherd." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is a veteran of 12 years in the NFL as an offensive tackle, including having been brought out of retirement three times. He was selected by the Oakland Raiders in the third round of the 2010 NFL Draft, and in addition to that team, went on to also play for the Arizona Cardinals, Denver Broncos, Green Bay Packers, and Indianapolis Colts, appearing in a combined total of close to 130 games, counting regular season and playoffs. He even spent time in the New England Patriots organization. He had been a first-team All-American in college and is a fitness and health enthusiast who just launched the Big Serious Show, which he is releasing weekly on his YouTube channel. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Jared Veldier.
Hey, thank you for having me, Bruce.
You bet, Jared. Let's start off by having you share with the audience where you were born and raised, as well as what the family size was when you were growing up.
I was born and raised in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I'm one of three children, and I sat smack dab in the middle between an older brother and younger sister.
All right, and This was a Catholic household that you grew up in, yes? What was the faith life like in your family? And by the way, did you attend any Catholic schools?
Yes. So I grew up as a Catholic. My dad actually converted into Catholicism when I was around 10 years old. He was from a Christian Reformed family, and he converted to practice with us and to be a part of the Catholic faith. And you know, now he's a quintessential practicing Catholic, and I can look back at my childhood and remember vividly of him doing that, and you know, thought it was pretty cool when Dad could go up to communion with us. But you know, going back to my childhood, I attended Holy Spirit Elementary School until I was in third grade, and then we moved across town and attended a public school from there on out.
So it sounds like you're saying your mother was Catholic and chose to raise the three of you as Catholic, and then your father, like you said, when you were 10 is when he converted.
Yes.
So we'll come back to your faith life, but let's shift over to sports. How did you get started playing sports? Was football first? Did you play other sports? And for that matter, tell the audience about your mom's role in you sticking with football at one point in your young life.
Yeah, so I was never like a huge sports nut growing up.
Wow.
My older brother and my dad were both collegiate basketball players at small schools, and you know, they were successful, had good careers, and my dad was an avid coach of, you know, a lot of different teams. And so I grew up around sports and always going to sports, and I was just kind of always along for the ride, and it wasn't like, you know, I dreamed of, you know, being one of those guys one day. If there was one sport that I really enjoyed playing when I was younger, it would have been basketball. I, you know, just kind of modeling my brother and my dad. I really liked basketball, like trading basketball cards with all my friends. And, you know, but I was never one of those kids who was just naturally blessed as a basketball player. You know, I was always big, but, you know, I never had the skill that would have made me a dominant player. Maybe I had the skill. Maybe it wasn't the drive that was there. I don't know. But I was into playing Legos and, you know, doing other kind of stuff. And, you know, sports were just kind of always something I got signed up for. And yeah, so that was kind of my early childhood in sports. And then fifth grade rolls around and my mom signed me up for tackle football. And I was like, okay, cool. You know, I'm a big kid. Maybe this will go well. You know, first day of practice, get there, and one of our coaches was a cross-country coach as well. And we had to start every practice with a 10-minute run, which now being, you know, 36, doesn't seem like it's a crazy amount of running. I can go running for 10 minutes. But when you're in fifth grade, 10 minutes of running, especially for me, felt like an eternity. And I absolutely hated it, especially getting out there. I wasn't an aggressive kid by any means. I was always kind of a gentle giant, and you know, I was just kind of there. I didn't really excel in football at that time, and it kind of was the same old story all the way until I was really a sophomore in high school. That's kind of when everything started to fall in line. I had grown about 6 inches between my beginning of my freshman year to the beginning of my sophomore year.
Wow.
And I had started training a little bit and getting a little more comfortable in my body and just enjoying it more, and kind of embracing a little more of a work ethic around it. And that's where things started to pick up. But even at that point, I wasn't sure if I wanted to keep playing football. I don't know if it was just the pressure of being a big kid and maybe I need to be really good at this. And I was kind of scared of that challenge inside. And so I was thinking maybe the easy way out would just not to play it. And, I told that to my mom, and she's like, well, if you're not doing that, you're running cross country. And, you know, I immediately had flashbacks to the 10-minute runs in fifth grade. And I was like, all right, well, let's go to practice. That put the kibosh on that real quickly. But I was able to earn a scholarship in football and went to Hillsdale College. And that's really where my love for football started to grow. And I continued to get stronger, faster, was around a great group of guys, and it just really started to take off from there.
But I'm glad you mentioned the name of the school, though. Hillsdale College in South Central Michigan. And yet, even though that's not a school that's on the tip of one's tongue, if they're a big college football fan, you still got chosen in the third round of the NFL draft by the Raiders. Playing football at Hillsdale College, did you think the NFL was a realistic goal? And if so, were you prayerful about it at all?
I did not show up my freshman day, a reporting day, with NFL anywhere in my radar. Mm-hmm. It was the furthest thing from my mind. I got there, I wanted to, you know, become a doctor or some kind of medical professional.
Wow.
I was enrolled as a biology major. I took all the pre-med courses, all that good stuff. But it was about midway through my freshman year, and I was actually just talking about this in a little Instagram video that I did. But we were playing Madden in the dorms, and my buddy looked over to me, and he's like, hey, man, you're going to be 330. He's like, and then you're going to go play in the NFL. And I was like, yeah, you know, maybe you're right, because my numbers in the weight room and my track times, my run times were all really good and, you know, similar to what guys were coming out of the combine with. And so I was like, yeah, you know what? I think I can do this. And so just started to work hard at it. And the nice part was I was able to really still enjoy all the time I had at Hillsdale, just because going in with the mindset of to earn a degree and not play in the NFL, not that I wasn't going to play in the NFL, but going there to earn the degree, I think just kind of shaped this awareness to kind of stay present and enjoy all that time and not wish it away and just think about playing at the next level. And I'm pretty grateful for that.
On a related note, you told me in the lead up to today that you developed an active prayer life as your NFL journey progressed. Walk us through that, meaning what did your prayer life consist of and where did you see it bearing fruit?
Yeah. So as I matured in my career, my prayer life definitely matured. You play in the NFL long enough and you're going to just go through some hard times, be it going through injuries or dealing with some stuff from the team asking you to do things that you're not comfortable with doing, or maybe you're in a rut, whatever it is, it just gets hard. You know, life gets hard. I think it doesn't even matter if you're in the NFL. It's just, it is what it is. There's seasons of hardships. And I don't know how I stumbled on it, if it was my mom sent me a podcast or what, but there was this trickle effect and it was probably just God nudging me towards him. Like, hey, I'm here. Like, I'm here for you. Let's do this together. You don't have to do this by yourself. And that was fantastic, because I just started to really get into a prayer routine. I remember my year with the Denver Broncos during training camp. I had a book by James McDonald. I think it had something to do with just faith as a man. And it was just kind of a daily reading. And it was great. I would do that every day before the practice. I'd get to the facility, you know, have a coffee, maybe jump in the hot tub to loosen up and go through that book and just reflect. And it was amazing how it just, having that active prayer life and being able to communicate and talk with God, and it just took a lot of the burden off, took a lot of that load off my shoulders. And I was really able to enjoy my time more. I feel like I got more out of it. I don't know if I necessarily played any better, but my life quality in general was tremendously better. And I would, you know, listen to podcasts before games on the way to the stadiums. I would, just those anxious moments or those little moments of uncertainty, doubt that would creep up, I almost just started to create this reflex and habit of turning to God in those moments. And that was really helpful. And then kind of had this realization that, you know, I can't always be doing this when things are bad or when, you know, I'm having, you know, thoughts of anxiety or whatever it was. You know, I want to, you know, express all this gratitude that I have for this amazing life that he's blessed me with, and just really got into a great routine of whenever I would, you know, feel that overwhelming gratitude within me, or just, you know, if it was being thankful for a sunny day with birds chirping, to just stop in that moment and say thank you and just be grateful for the life that he's blessed me with.
What great testimony. And, you know, to someone like myself, I look at it, an audience, someone out there can say, Bruce, I've had 5 jobs in the last 11 years. Right, but were they all in the same market? Because you look at someone like Jared, I said he was drafted by the Raiders, went on to play for the Arizona Cardinals, Denver Broncos, Green Bay Packers, Indianapolis Colts. That's moving out of state every time he's changing jobs. So if you look at this as someone getting a new job and having to move every time, that could take its toll on you. So that, Jared, I think is just another place where you turn to the Lord for comfort and for peace.
Absolutely, and especially, you know, doing those moves more frequently later in my career also coincided with growing a family and having kids and life getting bigger outside of myself and outside of football. And so It compounds a little bit.
Well, and what it also does is you look at that and you say, okay, some people lose their job, period, and they're out of work, as opposed to, thank you, I'm going to be in gratitude that another team is going to give me a shot. So, folks, if you're not familiar with Jared's story, you're going to be quite surprised to hear what he did when he stepped away from playing in the NFL in 2021. It's actually quite heartwarming and very much has a Catholic element to it. Just like I should not assume that everyone knows what I'm referring to, that everyone knows the story of Jared's, I also cannot assume that everyone listening to this interview has been listening to Catholic Sports Radio for a long time. In fact, there could be any number of people who are coming to the show for the first time simply because they wanted to hear Jared. That's fair. And to those people or anyone else who just recently started listening, I say hello and welcome. Thank you. I sure hope you'll check out past episodes of the show. I've been blessed to have gotten so many wonderful men and women in the guest seat like Jared, sharing their testimony, their faith and sports journey. Really, I am blessed to have been called to this. Even though it's a ministry for me and I don't get any income from doing it, nor do I have any sponsors, I do believe that God called me to this to serve in a little different way, dare I say non-traditional. Yes, I do admit it does become challenging for me having to find a way out of my own pocket to try to cover all the costs associated with running Catholic Sports Radio on and off the air. Many of those expenses, which I've specifically detailed over a number of episodes of this show. But if it leads more people deeper in their faith, then thank you, Lord, for choosing me to operate this vehicle to help accomplish that. This show is not about me, it's about him, although I always say that it's about the guests and it's about you, the audience. All that being said, if this show is helping you in your faith life, if you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio, if you see value in the work that I do to keep this ministry going every week for more than 5 years now, and you believe in the mix of faith and sports and would like to support these ongoing efforts, please prayerfully consider Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing. It's quite simple to do. There is a blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net or .com. They'll both get you to the same place. As some listeners and guests who have done it would attest, that is fast, easy, and secure. There is no list of amounts to have to choose from. You simply type in whatever amount you're comfortable giving. And by the way, this will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal. Alternatively, as some folks have opted to do, you can get in touch with me about sending a check through the mail. Contact me through the website or through social media, or just email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will email you back with details on sending something that way. Regardless of which method you use, the blue Donate to CSR button on the website or sending me a check, with your permission, I will happily say your name on the air as a public thanks. Or as some have instructed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Jared, I think you just can't stay away from football. When I was preparing for today, I had written out the intro, and at the time, it said that you had been brought out of retirement twice. But as I continued my research, I found that 6 months ago, last December, you were signed to the Colts practice squad. Is that true? And by the way, does your wife cringe each time your phone rings with a team calling you?
No. So that one was a little bit different. The last stint, you know, we had been away from football for 3 years. And now my kids are a little bit older and my son is he's really into football. Loves watching NFL football, college football, it doesn't matter. The game could be from 12 years ago and it could be the two worst teams playing each other and he flew, he's into it. And we were sitting there on a Sunday in late September watching football, and it was our family in the family room, and he said, "Dad, like, why are you not playing football anymore?" And I was like, "Oh, buddy, you know, I'm older, and you know, I'm just, I've moved on." And he's like, "No," he's like, "you should do it." And then all of a sudden, we're watching. It was a Giants game, and Justin Pugh, who we know and we're friends with, he had come out of retirement and was playing for the Giants. And so we're watching that game, and then my wife, out of nowhere, she's like, "Yeah," she's like, "you should totally try. You should do it." And I was blown away. I was like, if she's on board with this, then I'm a fool to not give it a Rocky-like comeback here. So, and I'm always looking for a fun challenge, too. And to me, it was like, okay, how do I go climb a mountain but still sleep in my bed every night and be at home with my kids? And it was, okay, I can train to try to come back into the NFL at the age of 36 after not playing for 3 years. And it was going to be kind of a crapshoot if a team actually wanted me at that point, but at least I could, you know, look at my son in the eye and be like, "Hey buddy, I tried, gave it my all. You know, you saw me working hard at it. You stood on the sled as I was pushing it. We had fun together, and it just didn't happen." So I was completely ready for that. But as it turns out, the Colts, who I had been with previously, invited me to be on their practice squad in late December.
Wow. And
I got a shot at being back in the NFL, and
wow,
I was active for the game versus the Falcons, suited up on the sideline, didn't get in, didn't get any action, but I was back in the thick of it, and it was fun.
Yeah, and tell the audience about, there was a season where you played a playoff game. I believe, do I have this right? You played for the Colts in a playoff game against Buffalo, and a week later you were in uniform for the Packers. Is that correct?
Yes. So that was the COVID year, which was pretty crazy. And I'm glad I wasn't part of the NFL for that entire season, because it looked really hard to have to do what those guys did for the whole year, playing with in games with no fans and, you know, having to do all the tests. Coming from a former athlete, I was like, I'm glad I don't have to deal with that right now. But turned out in December, the Colts needed help. And my old line coach from the Broncos was the Colts offensive line coach at the time. And he's like, "Jared, you think you could gain some weight and come back and help us out?" And I was like, "Sure, but this is the first year I'm going to be at home with my family for Christmas. Like, we got the tree. I can't bail and come down right now." And this is early December when he's calling me. So it's late in the season. And I told him, "Okay, just, if you guys still need help after Christmas, let me know." And, you know, the short version of the story is I'm in my car driving down to Indy on December 26th and signed with the Colts for that week and started that next Sunday, week 17, the last game of the season versus the Jaguars, after doing nothing for the entire season. Like,
wow,
this wasn't even a thing like where I was like full back into football training.
Yeah,
that had been the previous thing. Like, this was,
it's at the bottom of the screen, it says results not typical.
Yeah, this is like, okay, this is going to be wild. But you know what? When you do something so many times, the muscle memory is ingrained, and I'm blessed with size and strength, and I was able to go out there and play well, and then we earned a spot in the playoffs. So the second week I'm with the Colts, I'm in Buffalo for the wild card game starting at tackle. It was a fun game. We ended up losing, but it was competitive, and I think the game could have gone either way, but we lost that game. And I go back to where I was staying in Indy, and my agent called me up, and he's like, "Hey, that Packers left tackle just tore his ACL in practice. I think they might be interested." And because of COVID, the practice squad rules, there was a little loophole to where, since I was on a veteran practice squad, but I would just get elevated for the game, which basically created, you know, some really flexible roster spots, but it allowed me to get signed to another team. So it was the first time that someone's ever played in the playoffs and then got signed to another team. Anyway, it's kind of a lackluster finish to the story, because I got to Green Bay and tested positive for COVID my second day there. And so I was never made it into a game with them. But it was, that was a pretty wild ride.
Well, an audience, I wanted Jared to tell you those couple of stories to kind of set the table, because I mentioned going into the break that he has a very heartwarming story with a Catholic element to it. And for those who are wondering what had Jared been doing in his couple years of retirement, Jared, tell the audience what you were doing from 2021 to 2023 in the Catholic community, no less.
Yeah, so I was the lunch lady for our kids' elementary school. Yes, for St. Paul the Apostle Elementary School in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I say lunch lady jokingly because all I can conjure up in my head is the picture of lunch ladies, because that's all I ever had when I was going through school. And, you know, I got a chance to be one. And it was a lot of fun. I wanted to try to take my love for cooking and nutrition and apply it to how I would want to feed my kids and a whole school. So went in there and we really created a program that was able to take real whole foods, cook them, and provide a healthy, balanced lunch for the kids.
Yeah, and I want the audience to understand that Jared came in and said, we're doing away with the cafeteria food. We're not doing pizza. We're not doing chicken fingers. We are going to do wholesome, nutritious meals that these kids are going to benefit from, and it's going to be a completely different experience from all of us who are adults can remember from our school days. Jared, there's something that you do nowadays called rucking. Explain to the audience what that is.
Yes, rucking is walking with weight in a backpack. It is very basic, but it is amazing. It's great because my body is pretty beat up from playing a decade plus in the NFL. You know, I got arthritis in my hips, my feet, my back is It's temperamental. But I have found that rucking is a great way to get exercise in that is really quite restorative. I don't feel like it burns me out, and it's really helped keep my playing weight off. I weighed about 330 pounds on average when I was playing, and really pretty seamlessly I've gotten back down to a really nice comfortable weight of about 260 pounds. I continue to lift and work out and stuff, but I don't do any running. I don't do a lot of, you know, hard Peloton workouts. I just put on my rucksack and take our baby on a walk, or try to walk fast while the kids are biking. And that's how I get that kind of low level cardio in. And it's got tremendous effects because you're having to wholesome weight and move at the same time. So your heart rate's elevated a little bit, but you also have that resistance of that load on your back. And so the metabolic impact is much more significant than you would think. And you end up burning a lot of calories, and it's been quite nice for me.
Speaking of present day, with regards to your faith life, you told me in the lead up to today that there is a very popular series that most of us are aware of that you like to watch, and that there is an app that you like to use as well. Tell the audience what those two resources are that I'm referring to.
Yeah, the first one you're referring to is The Chosen. Our whole family, we love that show. It's fantastic. I was actually, to go back to the rucking point, it was interesting. We were watching one of the newer episodes, and this won't spoil anything, but just basically when they have their big group and they're moving camp from one place to another and they're having to haul everything, you see a lot of the disciples and even Jesus with weight on their back carrying it over long distances. And I'm just like, man, that just, it goes back to just how we as humans have always been doing this kind of thing. And it was just interesting. Maybe I just kind of, you know, lit up with that just because I like to ruck, but I was like, huh, you know, it's not, I'm not showing Jesus get on an exercise bike in The Chosen, but, you know, by gosh, he's loading up weight in a backpack and walking. So I thought that was cool, but that show's fantastic. We love it. It's such a great way to, you know, see the New Testament play out in real life with people. And the production on that show is so good. They just do such a good job of sucking you into the story and really, you know, being able to touch the audience with Jesus's life. And it's awesome to be able to watch that. And then it's even more awesome to be able to share that with our kids as well. They really like it. And then the second thing you were referring to was the Halo app. If anybody's not familiar with the Halo app, it's a pretty comprehensive Catholic app that contains daily readings. It contains, they call it daily reflections, where it'll have a gospel reading, and then it'll be about a 5 to 10 minute reflection on that particular day's gospel. There's also a lot of resources for children. There's different rosaries that you can pray on there. It's very comprehensive. I know people like Mark Wahlberg have endorsed it and been a part of it. I think even Jonathan Rumi the actor who plays Jesus on The Chosen has been part of Palo, and I know Father Mike Schmitz is part of that. And it's really nice, especially for waking up in the morning and I throw on some coffee and put my phone open, and you know, the first thing I try to do is go into that app and read the readings and Psalms, and you know, say a prayer and be able to start my day like that. And it's nice when you can, you know, use your phone for that instead of a million other things you can use it for, because my days are a lot better when I'm consistent with that.
Well said. Well said. You've mentioned them a handful of times, so let's close by having you tell us about your wife, including how long the two of you have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony, as well as the family that the two of you have made.
Yeah, I met my wife, Morgan, at Hillsdale. She's a volleyball player there. And we got married shortly, actually, right when she was done with college, we got married. I was in the NFL for a couple of years before, so we were kind of long-distance dating at that time. And then we got married. So we've been married for, it'll be 12 years here at the end of June. And we have three children. Our oldest daughter is 9. Our son is 7. And then we have a one-year-old baby girl.
Well, and in a nice bit of timing that you mentioning that your anniversary is coming up at the end of June, this episode is being released on June 17th, which is the day before my 8-year wedding anniversary. So clearly the Holy Spirit is present in the timing of this interview. Jared, it's been great having you on the show. Thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your family.
Well, happy anniversary to you and your wife, and thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you. Thank you. And my pleasure. Folks, it's fitting that we close this week's episode with an athlete's prayer. So let's pray this together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear God, today is game day, and I place myself in your loving hands. Help me to be a good sport. I pray that I do not seek individual glory or accolades, but rather that I play for your glory and for the good of my team. I pray that all who play this game today are protected from physical harm. And my Lord, help me to accept the bad breaks as part of the game. I pray that I play to the best of my ability and to give honor to you by accepting my position and my place in the lineup. Loving God, I pray for those who watch from the stands that they too give glory to you by accepting without prejudice the rules and decisions of the game today. May their hearts be filled with joy and gladness that you have given them the ultimate gifts they watch this day, the players. Dear God, I pray for the coaches and referees that they too experience your loving guidance in the decisions they make today, for those who work behind the scenes to make this day enjoyable, and for the founders and supporters. Finally, I pray to you, loving God, that you enjoy this game today and bestow on each of us wisdom and acceptance, no matter the outcome of the final score. With you in our hearts, we are all winners. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.